Across the infinite strands of time, two agents wage a secret war. Red serves the Agency, a technological civilization valuing efficiency and mechanical precision. Blue belongs to Garden, an organic collective that seeds its agents through history like plants in a vineyard. They are perfect enemies until a taunt becomes a letter and letters become something more. What begins as a simple message, burn before reading, ignites a dangerous correspondence spanning centuries and countless realities. Their letters, hidden in tree rings and coated in volcanic ash, or delivered through the stings of dying insects, evolve from competitive boasts into intimate confessions. Each message risks discovery by their superiors, yet neither can resist continuing this forbidden exchange. Their words create a space between worlds, a bridge across an impossible divide, where two enemies might find something neither expected: understanding. This is not just a story about time travel. It's about how words can transform us, how connection can flourish in the most barren landscapes, and how love might bloom even between sworn enemies fighting on opposite sides of eternity. How do you send a letter across time itself? Red and Blue develop extraordinary methods transcending mere correspondence. Their messages become intricate works of art, dangerous, beautiful creations reflecting their contrasting natures while bridging the gap between them. Blue encodes messages in tree rings, butterfly migration patterns, and mathematical sequences in rare blooming flowers. Red prefers bold gestures, creating bone mobiles in prehistoric labyrinths that sing with the wind, or manipulating volcanic eruptions to form patterns in cooling lava. Their technological innovations prove equally creative. Blue manipulates quantum computers with poetry instead of mathematics. Red encodes messages in radioactive decay patterns. As their relationship deepens, their communications grow intimate. Red crafts perfume from Blue's favorite tea, while Blue sends crimson seeds that unfold letters in Red's mind when consumed. What begins as tactical communication evolves into something profound, each message becoming a physical extension of its sender. In a war fought across all of history, their letters create the one thing neither side anticipated, a shared present. Red's missions span history's breadth. She infiltrates Genghis Khan's forces, transforming archers into siege engineers. She destroys multiple versions of Atlantis, islands, continents, spaceships, preventing their history-altering innovations. In the Americas, she introduces weakened European diseases, building immunity that protects indigenous populations from future conquest. Blue works with subtlety. She diverts a pilgrim from hermitage through orchestrated encounters, inspiring music that moves an emperor to tears. In Elizabethan London, she manipulates genetic lines through careful matchmaking. She replaces futuristic quantum computers worshipped as gods with convincing simulacra. Their approaches reflect contrasting philosophies, Red's direct intervention versus Blue's subtle influence. Yet as correspondence deepens, both question their purpose. Is history improved by their meddling? Do their organizations remember why they're fighting? The distinction between their methods blurs as they recognize value in each other's approaches. Perhaps the war itself has become merely habit, an endless game perpetuating without purpose. "How I love to have no armor here," Red confesses, revealing the vulnerability their correspondence creates. Their messages grow increasingly intimate, sharing truths never revealed to handlers, colleagues, or even themselves. Red describes her engineered body's peculiarities. Despite implants eliminating hunger, she eats blueberry pancakes, glass shards, and small rocks as rebellion against her agency's cold efficiency. In her youth, she sought isolation on a barren world, finding not enlightenment, but a hunger for connection. Blue reveals deeper wounds, her origin as a 5-year-old girl transformed by enemy action, with memories reduced to a kiss and something to eat, followed by overwhelming hunger. Garden responded severely, cutting her off before eventually reabsorbing her, though keeping her at arm's length until she found connection with Red. Their letters create a non-existent place between them, an impossible space outside time and faction where they can be themselves. This intimacy leads to a devastating realization. They're falling in love with their sworn enemy, committing what both sides would consider ultimate betrayal. Their correspondence evolves from tactical communication into intricate love letters rich with metaphor. Blue addresses Red with increasingly tender epithets. My careful cardinal, dear red sky at morning, eventually, my heart's own blood. Red responds with equally evocative names. Dearest 000FF, my blueprint, my ocean deep. Literary references become their courtship language. Shelley's Ozymandias contemplating power's impermanence, Romeo and Juliet symbolizing forbidden love. They exchange reading across centuries, building intellectual intimacy alongside emotional connection. Their discussions about language reveal words as both weapons and bridges, creating a place to live inside, despite vast distances. Red's confession, "I love you, Blue," transforms their entire history, making her wonder if this love has always existed, spreading backward through time. Her yearning manifests in impossible dreams spanning millennia. Blue promises messages from everyone. Their communication becomes syncretic, Red's technological precision melding with Blue's organic imagery. A hybrid language belonging to neither garden nor agency, but the space between them. What began as a game has become their most authentic expression. The secret correspondence between Red and Blue eventually draws attention from both agencies, who detect their unusual pattern of movements across time. Commandant confronts Red, revealing the agency's vulnerability and ordering Red to create a poisoned message using genetic steganography to trap Blue. Meanwhile, Garden confronts Blue about becoming too ostentatious, noting, "You have always been too fond of signing your work." Ordered to destroy each other, both make heartbreaking choices. Red creates a deadly trap, a poisonous plant engineered to break Blue's nature, yet secretly embeds a warning. Don't read whatever comes next. Let me go, and I'll let you. Blue consumes the poison plant despite recognizing the trap. As she dies, she writes a final message expressing pride in Red's betrayal while confessing, "I loved you. That was true. With what's left of me, I can't help but love you still." What appears as betrayal may instead be their greatest act of faith in each other. The story culminates in paradox and transformation. Red learns Blue's apparent death was part of a plan spanning centuries. Through self-reconstruction, incorporating elements of Blue into her body, Red becomes something unprecedented, neither agency nor garden, but a third state challenging their binary opposition. This transformation allows Red to enter Garden's domain, finding Blue as a child. Red kisses the girl, transferring blood containing both poison and antivenom, a small virus that will taint young Blue with a trace of Red, enabling her survival when Garden believes her dead. This intervention creates a temporal loop binding them together. Though captured, Red discovers a final letter revealing Blue survived and arranged Red's escape. Blue proposes they defect not to opposing sides, but to each other, building a bridge between worlds. "This is how we win," Blue writes, "not Garden or the agency, but together." Their letters, initially weapons, became the means of discovering victory through connection rather than conquest. In a universe of endless conflict, perhaps the most revolutionary act is refusing the terms of war and writing a new story. Together.